T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good morning, baseball fans here in Chicago and listening around the globe on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Hit and Run. The Score is a venerable baseball show. I am Barry Rosner, and my partner in perpetuity is Joe Ostrowski. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Mr. Rosner. A beautiful Sunday morning. And how about, well, not yet. It will be eventually,
looks
right?
Looks beautiful.
I think so. Yesterday was beautiful at Wrigley.
As long as it's not raining, it's a good day.
It was raining yesterday morning by me still.
Yeah, we can't
say. And I was hoping for rain. My grass needed rain, but it was too much.
Your grass needs rain. Where do you live? In Louisiana?
Yes.
All we've had is rain.
I'm saying a couple weeks ago. Before that, we didn't have much. And then we've had it for a week or two now.
Yeah.
I know you've had issues.
Yeah, it has not been pleasant. Let's not have any more if we can possibly avoid it. We're going to be with you till noon today, and here's what we have planned for you. At 9:30, we'll visit with Jason McLeod, Cubs VP and Director of Scouting and Player Development. You know, they have nothing in their system. I don't know if you're aware of that.
That's what I'm told. That's what websites say.
That's what they keep saying. The Cubs have no talent. And it's a disaster. At 10 o'clock, we'll go national with Scott Miller, national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. At 11, John Mioli from the Baltimore Sun will be with us. We'll find out what's going on with Zach Britton, what else the Orioles have planned. And at 11:20, it's our weekly visit with the Score's very own Bruce Levine. You know the phone number. It's 312-644-6767. You can also join in at 670-11 via the text zone on the Score, brought to you by the Grossinger Auto Group. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. If you text us, you'll get a text back acknowledging your text standard message and data rates may apply. Our producer, director, and engineer is Eli Hershkovich. Kevin Zipak is in all morning handling the updates. I am at Barry Rosner on Twitter. Joe is at Joe0670. 312-644-6767. Great comeback yesterday, Joe. But if they had not come back, it would not have been a disaster in my world, and I will tell you why. Since the Mike Montgomery start, which was the first one after the break, this is what the starters have done in 7 starts. Cubs starters, which had a 4.66 ERA in the first half. Since the first start, not including that first one after the break, they have a 1.77 ERA, a whip of 0.76. The only game they have lost in that time, including the first game when they came back, when Addison Russell hit that home run to save that first game. The only game they've lost was Friday when the bullpen gave it away, a very tired bullpen. We should not be surprised by that. But if they keep getting starts like this, they're going to be just fine. They're going to run away with this thing. Hendricks is back on Monday. And these are your starters since that Montgomery start. This is since game 2 after the break. Arrieta, 6 2/3, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks. Quintana, 7 innings, 3 hits, all zeros. Lester, 7 innings, a run, 3 hits, and a walk. Lackey, 5 innings on 5 hits and 2 walks. Montgomery, 2 hits and 6 innings with a walk. Arrieta, 2 runs, 5 hits, 6 innings, no walks. Lester, yesterday, 8 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, no walks. 7 really terrific starts. We have talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. It is happening. Finally, these starters are doing what they're supposed to do.
I like where you're at, Roz, because as you can see, I have a chart here as well of all the starting pitchers and what they've done since that first game back after the All-Star break.
I think everybody did the same thing yesterday after Lester exited the game. I think everybody went back and looked at it, but most people included the Montgomery start. I tossed it because it was bad, and they were fortunate to win that game.
Because it helps your argument, right?
Yes.
Because it helps what you're getting at.
Damn lies and statistics, right?
Yes. Let's choose. I like the sabermetrics guys that choose the ones that fit their argument, but they're going to avoid the ones, even though there are some numbers that go completely against what they're saying. No, I'm going to pick and choose these because this fit what my narrative is right here. Yep, that's what it is. There's no question. And there was a stretch about a couple weeks before the All-Star break where how are they getting the starting pitching? A week or so, and that's when Butler and Montgomery were still in the starting rotation. It's not that complicated. Just give your team a chance to win every single day, and you have talent like they do, and Zobrist and Rizzo and Bryant coming up late in games, and then you get into the bullpen eventually, or you've seen a pitcher like Wainwright, as good as he was, a third, fourth time, you're going to come through eventually, and that's what happened. They were able to string hits together, and you could look at it either way. Boy, Chris Bryant's base running, he was on it right away. Of course, they were going 3-2, two out. Everybody's going, of course.
Still, I don't think it can be overstated.
Yeah.
How great a base running play that was.
Well, first thing Madden said, and he was right, difference in the game was Chris Bryant was able to play today. He was out on Friday with the finger, said he couldn't grip the bat. He was able to play on Saturday.
Slid feet first at the plate, by the way.
Yes, he did.
Congratulations, Chris Bryant. Good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Fowler was really, really deep, but he was also deep because Rizzo was at the plate. But he had a horrible break on that ball.
Bad break and a bad throw.
Yeah.
And they were running. Look, they know Dexter Fowler, and they were running on him from the minute that ball was off the bat.
Where did he play all of last year? His defense was not exposed in center field. He was playing much deeper, and his play was better because of it. And then he knows Rizzo. He knows what Rizzo can do, and they were playing way back. You have a guy at first base. I thought it was funny. So obviously first to third is 270 feet. That ball was hit 252 feet. It's pretty amazing. What do you think about it? But yeah.
252?
252 feet.
That's a pop out.
Right. And he scored, you know, given the lead off, what, 260? About the same, even once he's going. So how different things have changed in a week. So my question to you, Barry Rosner, as we inch closer and closer to the trade deadline, now you have a little bit over a week of some really good baseball from this team coming out of the gates. Have you seen enough? Is Theo Epstein going to make a move that is geared more towards 2017? Now, he may serve both 2017, 2018, the future a little bit. But have you seen enough from this team where, yeah, maybe they are worth it to go make a move for this season?
Well, to make a move for this season and to give up something off the major league roster just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't think that's something Theo's going to do. Do you? I mean, I haven't believed it for quite some time. I still don't believe it. The brilliance of the Quintana deal is it serves both masters. And you're not trading Ian Happ for a two-month rental. I don't think they're trading Ian Happ anyway, but doesn't make any sense. I get your point. It's been good enough to make you think, okay, they should be able to run away with this division. I mean, the Brewers yesterday blow an 8-run lead and are lucky to win. There's not much to like there. Let's see what they do. I think I said this to Brian Hanley the other day. I think the best thing that's happened to Brewers management is the Brewers have been bad, so they can stop thinking about getting away from their plan, which is a long-term plan.
And give a little relief?
Yeah, probably.
It's giving you reason to make a decision one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were split down the middle.
Well, I don't think that they were. I think they were paying lip service to that. At least that's
sure.
Had I been the Milwaukee GM, that's what I would have done. I would have said, yes, so, you know, we're in this. We're taking this seriously. We're looking at all our options. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not giving away the future. We've worked hard to build this future. I'm not giving it away when we're staring at the Nationals and the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, we'll talk to John Mioli about it later on in the show. He covers the Orioles. But that was my conclusion in my column today, actually. It was about Zach Britton. There's so many names the Cubs are connected to, and you know, there's a lot of lying going on right now, of course, because it's the season for that. But that's the conclusion I came up with as far as Zach Britton goes, even though you would have him for control for another year. And if you lose Wade Davis, Britton can step in and be your closer in another year from now. What I came up with was there's a lot of risk here. First off, this is not last year's Zach Britton. I'm not sure how healthy he is. And if you have to trade something off the major league roster, if you are unwilling to do it for Jose Quintana, a top 10 pitcher in this league, a one or two in this league, for 3.5 years of him at a great price, if you're unwilling to do it for him, why would you do it for Zach Britton, who to this point is not the same Zach Britton? And if you haven't noticed, since April, he's gone on the DL twice with the same injury, a forearm strain, and they have not used him since April in back-to-back days. So if you have him, how's Joe going to use him?
I think it just depends on the price.
Of course.
Depends on the price.
Major league roster, goodbye, hang up phone. Minor leagues, okay, let's talk. What do you want? What's it going to take?
I don't know if this is food for thought or not, or even relevant, but in the winter before the 2016 season, when the Yankees dealt for Aroldis Chapman, I said to someone in the Cubs organization, wow, wouldn't Andrew Miller make a lot of sense right now? And the response I got was, no, we're not convinced that he's completely healthy. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit worried about an elbow situation. Now, I don't even know if that ever even reared its head last year or anybody heard about it or if it was even mentioned. And you saw what Andrew Miller ended up doing. So I don't know. The Chapman thing made perfect sense at the time, was absolutely worth the price, but you were by far the best team in baseball, and there was little doubt that you thought you could win the World Series.
What's interesting you bring up about Andrew Miller, I don't think you meant to, is if you were able to get in a Britton to pair with Wade Davis, you have your righty-lefty, doesn't it remind you of the Indians last year and what they were able to do with a righty and lefty and Cody Allen and Miller?
Course,
pretty lethal.
Yeah, if it were last year's Zach Britton,
he wouldn't be up. They're not trading him,
right? And you'd be willing to pay virtually any price to get that.
2.5 years if you get him a year ago, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. This hour on The Score is brought to you by Horwitz and Horwitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers. When we come back, Joe, we'll talk about this tired bullpen and the help that it needs. We'll take your calls. Matt in River North, Frank, Bill, George, and Stan. We'll get to all of you. We'll get into the White Sox and the Royals, Yoan Moncada, everything that's happened in Kansas City this weekend. Those Royals, I have some thoughts on those Kansas City Royals as well. We'll do all that next. It's Joe Ostrowski and Barry Rosner on Hit and Run on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on The Score. If you need legal advice by a reputable attorney, send questions you want answered to cbschicago.com/legaladvice. And look online for free Legal Fridays with Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. That's cbschicago.com/legaladvice. Advice. We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Joe, I have watched the last four Kansas City Royals games, including these two against the White Sox. My optimism about whether the Royals can make a run is not there after watching them win the last four games. That doesn't look like a good baseball team to me. Looks like a very mediocre baseball team.
They're mashing it.
Well, they did against David Holmberg, but I don't know that that's anything
to be
proud of.
They scored 16 runs the other day. It's pretty good.
What's your issue with the Royals? You know how it is. Watching from a distance and then actually, just watching scores and looking at box scores and seeing highlights is different than watching full games. You watch full games and you go, I'm not seeing it.
Right, right.
I want it to be the Royals. I want the Royals to make a run in the American League.
I want to see the Indians and Royals fight this out to the end. That would be fun and a big-time surprise because that was supposed to be one of the divisions, that, like the NL Central, that was over early on in the season, right away.
Well, that could still happen. The Indians definitely have flaws. Well,
please tell me this American League team that's flawless because I'm still looking.
Yeah, we'll talk to Scott Miller about it, top of the hour.
You found a team.
No, I just don't understand what the Astros are doing. You have a chance to win the world. I mean, we have been saying this. Maybe we haven't. I've been saying since the winter meetings, I think the Astros are the best team in the American League. maybe that was ridiculous given what Boston was doing at the time. And then we start the season and the Astros have this great run to start the season. Okay, now there's just no question about who the best team is. Go ahead and get what you need. Just go ahead and deal some of your future for one huge starter and just and now go into the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, you just don't, you can't. I just don't think you can pass on this opportunity. And I'm not, it seems like they're just, you know, like McHugh comes back, they're waiting for him. You know, Keuchel's going to be coming back. McCullers had come back. It seems like they're just saying, we're just going to get all our guys healthy and that's going to be enough. And if they were all healthy and they were all dealing, that would be enough. But do you believe that? Can you trust that?
What it seems to me from a distance, what it looks like, because they haven't done anything yet, and there's over a week. This is the period now where these moves start to usually happen. It was just the Cubs jumping the market because they decided they really wanted Jose Quintana.
But they were never in on Quintana.
That's right. That's right. And I heard Nightingale say that about a month ago, that they were out on Quintana for different reasons, never pitching in a big game, stuff like that.
Well, I don't believe that for one second. That's absurd.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I believe they weren't in on him. But the reasons
that,
for it?
That's like a crazy reason to throw out there.
What, he had a bad win-loss record? I heard that one, too. Come on.
Well, that's ridiculous.
The Astros are a sabermetrics-run organization.
I know. That could
that's
be just
absurd.
Something you feed out there. Just to, yeah, that's the reason. Whatever.
sorry.
It seems to me, do they know which direction to go? Do you get Sonny Gray to have three really, really good starting pitchers if you stay healthy? Or do you go the Zach Britton route and you can shorten that game? Man, I have been against the Yankees early on when they started hot. I faded the Yankees, and you've talked them up. They started to come back down to earth a little bit. But you're taking a look. I know their starting pitching is weak. They need five innings a game from them. Five. That's all they need. Because the strikeouts between Canley and Robertson, Betances and Chapman, man, that is as impressive as what the Royals were doing, if not more.
Yeah, did you see the home run Robertson gave up yesterday that lost the game? It was not at all a bad pitch. In fact, it was a great pitch, and he couldn't believe it went out. I mean, if you don't think there's something funny going on with the ball, you should have seen the look on David Robertson's face. He actually laughed. He was like, he mouthed to the catcher, "Can you believe that?" That's how absurd it is. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Let's get to a scoreboard update. We got Jason McLeod coming up in just a minute. We'll do that next right here on Hit and Run on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on the Score. That's Joe Ostrowski. I'm Barry Rosner. Right now, it's time to go out to the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com, where we're joined by Jason McLeod, Cubs VP, Director of Scouting and Player Development. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, Barry. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. So you used to be good at your job. What happened? Everybody says, I'm kidding, of course. It's kind of ridiculous. You put all these players on the Major League roster. You win a World Series with them. You use Jimenez and Torres and Soler to get various important pieces that you need, and suddenly the Cubs farm system is in very bad shape, if you believe what you read. Do you believe any of that, Jason McLeod?
Well, I can understand some of the rhetoric out there. You know, when you run guys like, you know, Chris Bryant and Schwarber, and even though Russell was in Double-A when we traded for him, Javi Baez, when you've had this steady stream of young impact players coming through the system pretty quickly and contributing to a major league club, you understand the feeling of, well, what's next. And you know, when you make a trade to go get an Aroldis Chapman, who, you know, was so vital to us winning the World Series last year, it's going to take an impact player like a Gleyber Torres. And when you make a deal to get, you know, a controllable starting pitcher with the caliber of Quintana, it's going to take a prospect like Eloy Jimenez to go do that. So, certainly we've taken some hits on that front. But, you know, one thing I remind myself about and we talk about in the office is just how young our current core players are in the major leagues, how young those position players are in particular. And, you know, knowing that those guys are going to be really good for the near and hopefully for the long-term future of the organization. And that's going to allow us to go out and replenish what we feel we need to. Hopefully we're going to be always picking at the end of the first round. And, you know, maybe we won't have the caliber of those guys sitting at the top like we did with Chris and Kyle. But, you know, that's our challenge, to go out and identify good players and get them into the system and develop them.
Is there, do you ever get like a little bit of a sadness pang when you lose guys that you've worked so hard to get, or you just always understand that part of the process of collecting all these guys is using the ones you need to get the other things that you need?
Well, yeah, we're all human beings, and you definitely build relationships with players. You start caring about them and their development and what they're going to be able to hopefully become as young men, but ultimately major league players. And when you spend that kind of time with them, especially if, say, you're talking about a kid like a Dylan Cease, let's say, and say you draft him out of high school, you get him through surgery, you get him through the rehab process, and you spend all that time with him on player plans, and you get him to a point where he's now pitching in his first full season and making all of his starts, and you see the growth that's come along with him. And then, you know, to trade him, it's always a tough pill to swallow, because, you know, there have been so many people that have been involved in helping him get to where he is now, and you have such high hopes for what the future holds for him. So that's always tough. And then you see him grow as men too, and you get close to them. So it's always tough when you're making a move like that. But, you know, like you said, we understand it's part of the business, and we understand that, you know, the greater goal is to make the major league team as strong as it can be.
What's the bigger challenge, a full rebuild when you have that pressure where you have to hit on those early first-round draft picks, or restocking the system after you're making some big trades to add pieces to the major league roster that you really need? You have late draft picks, but you do have your core. What's the bigger challenge?
I think the bigger challenge, just, you know, having some experience in Boston and now in Chicago is – yeah, we use that word so much from the time we showed up here about, you know, building for sustained success. And, you know, now we've had success. We've been in the playoffs a couple of years in a row. Obviously, we won the World Series last year. And now it's the challenge is staying here and continuing to add pieces to the Major League club to keep them, you know, playoff caliber team. The challenge is to know that and understand that we likely aren't going to be picking in the top of the draft. We won't be having those kind of bonus pool money to go spread out like we were able to do the year we took Schwarber and got Cease and some others in that draft. So to me, it's always a greater challenge once you get there to stay at the top, to continue to be able to add pieces to your major league club and to your organization that are going to help you long term with the more limited resources or draft position that you'll have.
Jason, you have a bunch of guys at the lower levels now in terms of pitching. You've talked over the last couple of years about wanting to go get some pitching after you obviously loaded up at the top on position players. Who are some of the guys lower down that are coming that you're really pleased with at this point?
Yeah, well, first I would like to say that, you know, at the upper levels, you know, a guy who is our minor league pitcher of the year a couple of years ago, Jen Hosang, really has had a phenomenal season this year, starting off in Double-A. He's now made, I believe, three starts, if not four, in Triple-A. And he's sitting there with, in a very pretty hitter-friendly league with a, you know, ERA in the mid-ones right now. He's had a tremendous year. You know, looking a little further south, lower level than him.
How far away do you think he is in terms of helping up here if it was needed?
Well, I think he's at a point right now, you know, he's always been a strike thrower. So I think he's a kid that bodes well for him. I think he's at a point now where now that he's at the upper levels, he's understanding how to better use his mix, because he's not a big power guy. He's not a mid-90s velocity starter. But he is, you know, 90, 93 with four pitches, curveball for strikes, cutter. He's always had a really good changeup, and now he's learning how to use that even better earlier in counts rather than just waiting to break it out to try to get the swing and miss. So, you know, if there was a need, I think he could come up here and provide innings and strikes. He's already, like I said, answered the bell somewhat in terms of his first move to Triple-A. And this is a kid who's 22 years old. You know, he's been in our organization 5-6 years, and if you forget how young some of these guys still are. So to have a 22-year-old starter performing in AAA bodes well for us. And I think he could come up here and compete and throw strikes because he does have, you know, command of 3 or 4 pitches.
And I interrupted you. The guys, some guys lower down?
Yeah, the guy that's, you know, getting a lot more buzz nowadays out there with some of these prospect websites, and rightfully so, is Adbert Alzolay in AA. He's more of that classic power guy. A lot of strikes with the fastball. He's been up to 97. I don't know if he's going to pitch in the low to mid-90s. 3-pitch guy with strikes, you know, great makeup, great competitiveness. And you know, it's been somewhat of a breakout season for him. So we're all excited about what he's done. Our first pick last year out of the draft, when we didn't pick until the 3rd round, Thomas Hatch down there in Myrtle. He's had a real strong first full season. You know, another guy's low to mid-90s, sinker, slider, strikes, competitiveness. A guy out of last year's draft, too, is already performing very well in high A by the name of Michael Rucker. I want to say he's on a 20-inning scoreless streak right now. And, yeah, he's another guy that'll, you know, touch 95 for you and really fill up the zone, throws a lot of strikes while missing bats, which always is a very good precursor to hopefully success. And, you know, we've had guys like that draft class I told you about when we were able to spread more money out with the Schwarber grouping. When we got Cease, we got Justin Steele. He's really had a strong season. And then even lower, some guys that you've been a little nicked up that I think you've heard about with the Oscar De La Cruz's of the world. And then some kids that we're excited about in Eugene. And then obviously the draft this year is the first time we've ever taken a pitcher in the first round. We took 2 of them. And so we're excited about, you know, getting Brendan Little and Alex Lang and Corey Abbott and a lot of the guys that we got out of this year's draft and getting them on the mound this summer.
Jason, earlier we were talking a little bit about the big trades that were made at near the deadline over the last couple of years. But then even in this series against the Cardinals, Jed Jerko, you drafted him when you were out in San Diego. Were you part of guys like Josh Reddick, Travis Shaw? Any sense of pride when you see what those guys are accomplishing, even though they're not part of your team?
Yeah, there's always that. And now it's funny. Now, you know, Theo and I kidder about this sometimes. Now we've become those guys that have been in the game long enough where, you know, 10 years later, 12 years later out of the draft, you're like, oh, yeah, man, gosh, wow, look what he's still doing. We drafted him way back when. And, you know, I had a dad at this – I'm at my son's 10-year-old Little League game right now, and I had a dad ask me about, hey, were you involved with Anthony Rizzo? I was like, yeah, we drafted him when he was 17 years old. And so, yeah, there's definitely a sense of – you know, you feel good about the process and the scouts that were involved in the – selection and more so just happy for the players because you understand what they've been through. And you know, it's fun whenever I get to run into a Josh Reddick, whether it be during the season or spring training, and those guys come up and give you a hug and you get to catch up. And you know, that was a guy who was taken in the late teens who's really carved out a really good career for himself.
Didn't you also draft but not sign Charlie Blackmon as a pitcher?
We did, yeah. Which was two guys, actually two funny stories for you. Charlie Blackmon, we drafted as a pitcher. That's when they still had the summer draft and follow, where you could take a junior college player and follow him through the next year. And Charlie wanted to hit, and I think he made the right decision to do that. And there's another guy who you know very well by the name of Brandon Belt, who we drafted out of high school over there in Boston. And I actually followed him through the summer at a couple of tournaments, trying to sign him as a pitcher. He went the junior college route, ended up at the University of Texas. And obviously he's become one of the better power hitting first basemen in the game.
Jason, you have had some opportunities. You've had, I don't know how serious you took any of them, but you've had opportunities over the last couple of years. I never sensed from you that you really want to leave or that you'd rather do something other than what you're doing. What would it take for you to leave Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and where you are right now?
Well, yeah, all of us as individuals, yeah, whether you're in baseball or really any industry, I think you all want to be challenged. And I think you all want to challenge yourself to be, you know, someday in the position of making the ultimate decisions, ultimate calls. And you know, if that happens for me, if that opportunity comes available at some point, I absolutely would, you know, welcome that when the time is right. But, you know, at the same time, it's we're very fortunate to be where we are in this organization. I get to work with, you know, two gentlemen every day that are not only my bosses, they're also very good friends of mine. You know, for this ownership group and this town, and you look at everything that's happened with the renovations to the ballpark and, you know, what we've done in Mesa and the Dominican and our new front office building that was built. It's a really tough place. Well, I say it's a really easy place to come to work and be really excited to come to work every single day. Even though we've, you know, met that first challenge of winning the World Series, like we were just talking about, like, you know, we're also amped up to try to repeat that. And all of us in scouting and player development are all, you know, challenging ourselves to go find and develop the best players. And, you know, so for me, this is a great place to be, 100%. Like I said, if something else came up down the road, then, you know, I'd be happy to look at it, depending on what it would be. But I couldn't be more fortunate to be in the position and place that I am right now.
When did it become evident to you guys that the Brewers were a team to watch out for, what they were developing and the kind of rebuild they were going through?
Well, yeah, you know, you're always looking at the other organization's, you know, talent base, and like all 30 clubs do. And I think we all knew that, understood that they had some pretty good young talented players in the lower levels. I like how they run their drafts. Obviously, since Stearns went over there, they were going to become, you know, much more analytically inclined, or at least add that element to what I felt that they've always done pretty well. And that was just the straight scouting evaluation and getting toolsy guys in there. So I think being that they still have a lot of those people in place, with Ray Montgomery really, you know, feeling like what I do with the Brewers, and I have a lot of respect for Ray, I felt like, wow, this team's going to be, you know, they're going to have to be reckoned with, because they have smart people, you know, running their operation there. And, yeah, they've made some good trades. And we've seen what they've done up there. They came over and hired Derek Johnson away from us. He was our pitching coordinator, who's their major league pitching coach now. And so they've got really good, intelligent people making decisions over there, and they've got some toolsy, talented players. And add on top of that, you know, the smart decisions that they're going to make. And, yeah, I think they're going to be a team that's yeah, going to be fighting with us for years to come now.
He's Cubs scouting director Jason McLeod. He's at a Little League game looking for talent right now. That's how hard he works at all times. Jason, quickly before we let you go, and we sure appreciate your time. I know you have a very busy Sunday. When you think about what's happened with Kyle Schwarber this year, how surprised are you? What are you seeing? And how optimistic are you about the next couple of months?
Yeah, well, I'm surprised in one regard, in that, you know, I just believe in the hitter that Kyle is. And we're not seeing that right now, because he's a very talented hitter. And, you know, sometimes, like Joe mentioned it at one point earlier this season, you know, it was so ridiculous what he did coming back and performing what he did in the World Series. But that was such a very short, like, snapshot of, you know, four games in Cleveland. He did miss an entire year last year. And, you know, at the same time, now we've gone through spring training and 3 months of the season. And, you know, there's no getting around. It's been a struggle for him. And I was with him in Iowa a couple of weeks ago when he was down there working on some things. And, you know, I just feel like we're not seeing the hitter that this guy is. He's a very talented hitter, and that can use the entire field. It's what he's always done. It's what really drove us to him in the draft. It's what he was doing when he, you know, ripped through the minor leagues in that very short time. And when he came up here and you saw him driving balls in left center field all the time. And, you know, obviously it's been a tough go of it so far, and I'm sure mentally it's, you know, he's pressing somewhat, and you do see some bigger, you know, wilder swings that we're not accustomed to seeing from him. But, you know, for me, Kyle's a hitter who just happens to be very strong and powerful, and versus a power guy who doesn't have very good bat control. And right. So far this year, we have seen some of the, obviously, some swings and misses. And, you know, I don't think that that's who he is. ultimately, I have a lot of faith in him because I do believe in the talents that he has, and I believe in the hitter who he is. And I think we're going to see him come back from this, whether it be this year, which we all hope it is, or next. I think you're going to see Kyle Schwarber for who he is and the talent that he really is in the near future.
Jason, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. I know you have a lot to do today, so thanks for coming on. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, Barry, thanks for having me on. Always great talking to you.
Jason McLeod, Cubs vice president and scouting director. It's really kind of ridiculous, isn't it, that that everything you've heard over the last, well, really since the Quintana deal, right?
Now they have nothing.
So they trade two huge prospects for Quintana, which was totally appropriate given the circumstances. And now they're getting trashed for having no farm system. It's like, you can't.
Well, here's the other part of it.
First, they were trashed for not trading any of their prospects. You should be trading. Remember that? Remember that
the
plan
sucks,
and they should be trading all their prospects. And now that they've traded a few to get some more things that they need, and the rest are up at the big league level, now they have no farm system.
You can't win, even though you won the World Series.
Yeah.
I noticed yesterday, because all of a sudden MLB Pipeline has become the Bible, and that's what everybody goes by. Oh, you have one top 100 MLB Pipeline, which is true. In Candelario, they have him at number 81 overall. And I looked at their top 10. Okay. Took a glance. De La Cruz, Agunas, Clifton, their top four. And then Baseball America, they redid it a couple of weeks ago. And then I looked at their top 10 of the Cubs prospects. Completely different players on both lists. We can go over it later on.
Yeah, good idea. I'd like to hear the differences. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Top of the hour, Scott Miller right here.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here on Hit and Run on the Score. Welcome back in on Hit and Run on the Score. That's Joe Ostrowski. I'm Barry Rosner.
Hey.
The Cubs game yesterday with the Cardinals, I thought was a fantastic baseball game. I just loved it. It was just a great baseball game.
How could you not?
I wonder if Rob Manfred did.
Oh, because it was a quick game. Yeah, he loved it.
But it's a scoreless game. See, he wants both. He wants fast games. He wants more action, but he wants it to be 12 to 11. That's why he's ordered these baseballs this year.
Makes sense.
So does he like this game? Does he think that people just being introduced to baseball are going to be entertained by this? See, the whole argument's idiotic, really.
You have to pick a lane.
You have to love the game in order to appreciate the game. So how do you do that? Same old story. Get kids playing the game when they're young. Get them watching the game when they're young. They'll appreciate the game when they're young, and they'll want to watch the game, and they'll enjoy a game like yesterday for what it was. All right, coming up next, we'll get to Scott Miller, go national, and we'll get back to your phone calls right here on Hit and Run on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.